It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome, welcome to Money for Lunch. You know, it's an exciting time to be here, a citizen of the United States of America. We have a historical event, the election of a new president. And this is a process that we're privileged to experience every 4 years. And each time it is a historical event. I'm urging everybody to get out there and vote. Vote for who you want. Vote for who you trust. Stop listening to everybody around you and just get out there and vote for who you think represents your values best. Now, having said that, I also believe that once you vote, whether your candidate wins or loses, it doesn't matter. Let's support the president. The fastest, quickest way to get going with a new election, a new presidency, is to support. I think it was our beloved Abraham Lincoln that said something about a nation divided against itself cannot stand. And I see this a lot. Look, a nation divided cannot stand, and we don't have to be at war for our nation to fall apart because we don't get along. And I think it's completely ridiculous for so many people to get so uptight about who's running the country and how they're running the country when it doesn't really affect you that much. For the most part, the laws that are enacted, the changes that the president makes, affects most of us very minutely. That's generally what happens. There are always exceptions to that rule. The Civil Rights Act affected everybody in a very positive way, even though some people didn't like it. So let's get behind. Let's first of all vote for who you want to win, and then second of all, support who actually wins. And let's get behind our president, and let's make our nation one of the United Nations versus the divided nations. And that's all I'm going to say on that subject. Like Forrest Gump said, that's all I'm going to say about that. All right, let's get this party started. And I'm excited to have my guest today, John Thibeault. John Thibeault is the founder and CEO of iLobby and the author of the number one international best-selling book, How to Change a Law. His company and his new book are focused on empowering you, the voters, so that they can change, so you can change laws. Basically improve your country, your community, influence your country, and impact the world. John worked in government affairs at MCA Universal and was the VP of marketing at eBay. John Thibeault, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert, it's great to be here today. This is a watershed moment as we look at it, and so I'm happy to be with you today. Thank you so much.
You bet. So why don't we dive into this? First of all, tell us, you know, what is iLobby all about?
Yeah, so basically iLobby is there's one way of talking about it, is it's a political persuasion platform. So when you hear people say, you know what, the American people need to debate, we need to talk about issues, there's no place to do that aside from your backyard fence. So essentially what iLobby does is say, look, let's allow individual citizens to debate issues in their community or even at the state or federal level, go back and forth and flesh out the ideas, and then they can vote on them. And then if they're serious, they can move that forward and say, you know what, we want to do this seriously. We're going to pull together a coalition, and we're going to do what years ago Mothers Against Drunk Driving did. We're going to pull together a coalition, start convincing lawmakers, and we're going to change a law. That's really what it's all about.
Sorry about that. I had to hit the cough button a little bit because I have this little tickle, so I apologize for the dead air there, everybody. Yeah, you know what? And this is so important because we've seen this. We've seen this time and time again where a couple of people have this massive change. And it doesn't happen overnight. I think Mothers Against Drunk Drivers is a great example. You know, we saw the impact of these fast food workers who united and got a pay raise. It didn't go national, but it did go in a couple of different states. And so they were able to have impact. And what's interesting here, John, is that, you know, I don't recall that much about Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, but if I remember, the mother who started that did not have a legal background, and so you don't need that to change a law. Am I right?
That's absolutely right. Her name was Candy Leitner. Her son was killed by a drunk driver. She was totally infuriated by that and said there should be laws against this. And then what ended up happening is obviously she was passionate about that. This was in the early 80s in California. And she ended up bringing together lots of people. When she discovered that she couldn't change the law at the state or federal level, she ended up appealing to, and I use this term, appeal to a higher authority, either her senator or congressman. They then sponsored a bill, and they actually ended up changing, eventually, I think it was the National Highway Traffic Safety Act that had to do with blood alcohol content. The thing I find fascinating is, though, that in order to get the states to buy in, it's pretty fascinating, is that the federal government needed to convince the states that they needed to change their BAC count from 1.2 or whatever it was down to 0.08, a national standard. But they were unwilling to do that. Not all of them would do it. What convinced them was the federal the bill said, you know what, if you don't do it, we're going to withdraw highway safety funds for you guys. You know, you're not going to have your road funds. And lo and behold, the states complied, and now we have that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's an amazing thing that, again, that was a historical event. Look, we have so many privileges, so many rights in our country that a lot of people don't know how to partake of them. You know, here we are having an election, and I always tell people, look, an election is the ability to cast a vote is a privilege, not a right. Because this privilege can be taken away from you. There are peoples here in America that have lost in America who have lost their right to vote for different reasons. And of course, there's millions of people throughout the global community who don't have the right to vote. So that privilege is something that we need to recall it, to take advantage of. We need to guard it. And then this thing that you're talking about, changing a law, it's a wonderful thing to be able to be be allowed to do that. It sounds really big, and I imagine that it is, but it's still, what a wonderful thing, John, that you and I and a group of people together, we can push for change and actually make a law happen.
Yeah, no, you know, I think people at this point are so disempowered, they don't believe they can do it. But I would like to counter that by giving one or two very short examples. And I won't go into great detail, but there was a senator here in California, so I'm in Silicon Valley, and for 10 years he ran a contest called There Ought to Be a Law, Senator Joe Simidian. And what he did was he requested input from the constituents saying, if you have an idea for a law or something you want to change in California, let me know. And if he liked it, he would sponsor that bill, which is how things work. He would sponsor the bill, the person would get a flag, they would get some press, he would convince his colleagues on the floor that, you know what, we should pass this. And this is the key here, I think. Here's a great idea that came from an average person. They do not have to be a lawyer. They are just an average person who observed a problem and said, we need to fix this problem. I have an idea. Let me pitch this and see what happens. So he ended up saying, okay, over the period of whatever, 10 or 12 years, he had dozens of winners, and then that contest ended up migrating to other parts of California and now actually to Pennsylvania. And one quick point on this is, several years ago, a 10-year-old girl won the contest. I won't go into the details, but she won the contest in her class by writing an essay that the school sponsored, and she was able to actually then get a Senator Ryan Aument of Pennsylvania, who's still around, and he sponsored that, put her on YouTube, gave her what I just described in terms of, you know, saying, hey, you can get a flag, you can do this, you can change a law, you can change the language of something. So they changed the actual act that was at the state level. And so part of what's in my book I talk about, I say, you know, if a 10-year-old can do it, you can do it too. And that's what people need to realize.
Yes. You know, and what all these people seem to have in common is they have some energy. They have a desire to make this change happen. So, but let's talk about this. How do you get started? How long does it take? Walk us through the process A to Z.
Right. So there's a couple of ways to get engaged. The first thing I say to people is just sign up on the platform at ilobby.co and then look at the debates that other people have and just vote on them. And it'll take you as long as it takes you to post a Twitter comment, you know, minutes or less. And by doing that, you're actually helping other people either promote or get more insight into what they're doing. You could then also say, I have an argument, or I have something I want to say, or I want to add information. So people can put in links and share ideas, or they can oppose the person. It's just like, you know, I don't agree with what you're doing. Here's why. And here's a link to some press article that shows you're completely wrong. Because what we're trying to do is solve problems at the community, at the state level, etc. So I think once people begin to put their own input into a debate and have a say and realize it's perpetual, they're building coalitions of people in districts. And that's kind of happening behind the scenes because they put in their zip code when they start. If you were really serious and you said, you know what, I've got this figured out. What I want to do is I want to start my own debate. I have a great idea. I'm going to put it up. And you can do that. There's no cost. It's easy to do. It may take a little bit of research, but then you're going to be spending a tiny bit more time, maybe a half hour or an hour at the most. And after that, you're just sharing it to get more people involved. But the idea is you need to find like-minded people who support your idea, your position, your solution to a problem. And the lawmakers and other folks eventually will come around because, you know, they're working on sometimes parallel legislation to ideas that are on the site.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, so for me, for average, you know, Joe or Joanne citizen here, to get this thing started, cost no money. What about getting it finished? Does it take a lot of money to make this happen? What should I be cognizant of as I move through the process?
Yeah, you're not going to really put any money in. And I mean, at this point, we have the financial piece turned off. So we're not charging anybody's credit card or anything like that. But the idea is that if you have enough people who at the end are passionate about something and say, look, we want to get it done, think of this like Kickstarter for issues, right? If,
I like that.
Yeah, and I'll use one other example here. In the past, the reason the American people have not been involved in lobbying at this level is because it's dominated by the corporations. The fee to get into the game is $500,000 to $1 million a year. You need a one-year commitment to play. This is at the federal level. And
Right. Obviously
nobody does it except the large corporations, and that's why everybody is disgusted with the system because they can't get in. However, there are younger, newer lobbyists coming out of the big firms. They're saying, you know what, we'll do this for $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000. So if you took a small business person and said, hey, listen, you start something, figure out what you want to get done in Columbus, Ohio, or wherever it is, and then you find other people in your industry, you could then say, okay, well, we'll put in some money. And the number that I'd like to use very simply is if you had 20,000 people, which is not a lot, who put in $30, you would have $600,000, and you could hire any firm in Washington tomorrow. You'd be done.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah,
and
that's really part of the message. People can be empowered by saying, look, I'm going to skip a movie, but I really want to focus on getting immigration solved because they don't have the right answer. Or I'm going to skip a movie because I want to solve some problem with some other issue. And it doesn't have to be federal. Those are the ones we look at. But it can be local. And if you go local or at the state, often no money is required at all.
Yeah. You know, the deal, I guess, is how motivated are you to finish this, right? How, you know, can you sustain the long haul here? Because it doesn't happen overnight. And give me maybe an approximation. If everything goes well, you know, whatever that means to you, ideally, if I started something today, would it take me 12, 13, 15 months, 2 years on the federal level versus a state level?
Yeah, I think at the federal level that's reasonable. Congress does not move quickly. But here's, I think, the distinct difference. What we have done in the course of building the platform and looking at it, and again, you looked at my background, so I have a background coming out of Hollywood, plus government affairs. But I think there's a compelling story model that works, that when people tap into it, you can actually delineate who is the victim in a particular incident and who is the villain and who is going to be the good guy and how you do that. And Candy Leitner in her Mothers Against Drunk Driving, it was very compelling emotionally speaking. So it becomes easier to move that forward. And I have heard from lawmakers, both in Washington and the state capitol, that they often look for a simple story, an emotional story of harm that comes from an individual. They're tired of hearing from the lobbyists who say, oh, we need it because of fiscal reasons or my special interest group is going to get this. They want to hear from their constituents, and they want to say, you know what, I did a really good thing today. I mean, people discredit them for this, but many of them are sincere. I did a really good thing today by voting for a bill that was going to help cancer patients, and that made all the difference in the world. And it's that kind of stuff that I think we can really do.
Well, you know what, and what I love about the example you gave with the 10-year-old girl, at least from the example you gave, what I gleaned out of that is she told a good story. You know, it wasn't because maybe she needed something or that she was hurt, but she saw something that could be better. She wrote a story, this essay. People loved it. They got behind her, and a law was changed. So it's not about technology. It's not about being connected. It's about a persuasive, compelling story where people can wrap their heads around, wrap their hearts around it, and eventually wrap their pocketbooks around it if they need to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, at the grassroots level, those are the kinds of things that would probably move forward versus saying, hey, we're going to do tax reform and I'm going to get a carve out and an amendment, Section 203B. I mean, people don't know what that means, you know?
Right.
But they understand, let's help some little kid who is dealing with child obesity at a school where they're not getting the proper nutrition. That's kind of what she was talking about.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, and see, this is something that, compelling again. It just engages you. That's what I was looking for. It engages you. A great story will engage you. And people ask me all the time, well, you know, how long should this letter be? How long should this story be? Well, you know what? We will read a 500-page book if it's good. So if as long as the story is good and compelling and engaging, it could be a 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 minute video. It can be a 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 page essay. It doesn't have to. There's no limit. It just has to be good, you know, and it has to be compelling, and it has to get people, you know, involved. And something like childhood obesity gets a lot of people, pulls at their heartstrings.
Yeah, I mean, I see stuff on 60 Minutes all the time, thinking, oh my God, this is, you know, unbelievable stuff. Somebody should do something, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Somebody should do something. I love that. And maybe that person is you, right? I mean, we are all waiting for that. We're waiting for that other person to do something. Or I think that one of the saddest things I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure a lot of people are, is, well, I'll let somebody else do it. Somebody else is probably going to deal with it. Somebody better than me. Somebody with more money, somebody with better connections is going to take this case over. And that's seldom the situation. Sometimes it's the person that you least expect who hits the home run, and that's, you know, and you just got to pick up the ball and go with it. Let me ask you this. Here you are, you're working in Hollywood with MCA Universal, you're VP of marketing at eBay, and you're sitting around going, you know, I got to start this iLobby thing. What was the inspiration? What made you go from this corporate environment to this entrepreneurial environment?
Yeah, so prior to MCA, I was actually, involved in screenplay development and raising money, et cetera. And then I got this opportunity to work under Lou Wasserman. He was legendary at the time.
Sure.
And they said, it's in government affairs. I'm like, what's government affairs? I had no idea. And they said, well, you'll get to meet senators and congressmen, and you'll go to these $10,000 plate dinners and stuff like that and meet the heads of the studios. And I thought, oh, that's great. Maybe I can sell my screenplay to them. So anyway, in the course of doing it, I realized that I was dealing with, like, attorneys and lobbyists and politicians, I mean, names that you would know, okay, and heads of state and all these guys. And we basically did the it was sort of a centerpiece for the entertainment industry because all the studios got involved. And so over the years, I will refer back to 08 or so, when I was talking to friends, they said, hey, I'm frustrated by the politicians. They're not doing anything. You know, I don't know what to do, et cetera. And even people who are giving money to candidates were saying, you know, well-placed people who were, you know, again, names that you would know, they were saying, I can't get anything done. And I thought, you know what, that was not my experience at MCA. At MCA, literally, Lou Wasserman could pick up the phone and get the president on the phone and then say, hey, look, I'd like to get this done. He'd say, you know what, we'll hand it over to the Judiciary Committee. We'll get the chairman to write up a bill. We'll have their staff work on it. We'll move this forward and get this problem solved. And in that case, the problem was piracy of films and videotape, where people would go into theaters with these little old Sony cameras or whatever, shoot the film, and then send the copy overseas and pirate it, right? And they ended up doing a trade bill in the 90s to stop that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great example. And I chuckle, you know, when you say a Sony camera, because I could, you know, so Sony technology was pirating Sony pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I love this iLobby idea. I just think it's such a spectacular. It's something that is so needed. I think the time has come. So if I want to get into iLobby, if I want to get involved, is it iLobby.co, is that what you said?
That's correct, yeah.
iLobby.co. And John, you know, maybe keep us in mind for future success stories. Maybe we can, you know, I'd love to bring you back and talk about some of the things that you've seen, some of the, you know, and when I say success stories, maybe it doesn't have the ending that we want, but maybe something that started iLobby, moved through the process, maybe through the state legislation or the federal legislation and was dealt with. I would love to bring you back and talk more about iLobby.
Yeah, no, perfect. I'd love to do it. And again, I think the real key here, we hear it over and over again, is that we're trying to solve these problems of, you know, voter apathy, access to politicians, and kind of the affordability piece. And that's, I believe, what I've done here. And the key is for people to get into the game. And that's also why I wrote the book, How to Change a Law, which describes how to get through the process.
I love it. I love it. John, again, thank you so much. Looking forward to having you back again.
Great, Bert. Thanks so much.
You bet. Good stuff there from John Thibault and iLobby.co. I love people like this. This is innovative thinking. This is the kind of stuff that changes the world, certainly will change America. Could you imagine now you and I have the power to go to iLobby.co and change a law? Another historical time, another historical moment in our time. It's just a wonderful time to be alive. Thanks to people like John Thibault and iLobby.co. And it's just, I'm just in awe. What a great idea. It's about time. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.